Recently, Georgia has passed a law related to voting, and the goal, outwardly, is to secure voter integrity. But critics of the voting law, including the President of the United States, are saying this is Jim Crow Part 2. Why? Because they're demanding, for example, photo IDs. And now even some are talking about boycotting Georgia because of this new law. We're going to talk about this right now with Bill Federer, a best-selling author and also a highly sought-after speaker. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Jerry.
Sure. All right, so let's talk about this controversy in Georgia. First of all, did Georgia pass a law that is like Jim Crow, you know, on steroids, to quote or to paraphrase Biden?
No. All they did was say that you have to be eligible to vote to vote. That you have to be a citizen of Georgia and able to vote in Georgia. And the irony is that you could not have even driven to the polling place without a driver's license. So what would be wrong with requiring people to present the driver's license? To buy cigarettes or alcohol, you have to show your age. You have to show your driver's license. The irony is Delta Airlines saying, oh, we're upset at this law of requiring voters to show identification when they require everyone to show identification to get on their plane. So in other words, Delta is racist for requiring people to show their identification to get on an airplane. That's what they're saying, that Georgia's racist for requiring people. And I was reading a quote, I don't know, it was Burgess Owens or someone, but they said it's an insult to people of minorities that you have to say they are so intellectually low that they don't know how to get an ID. That, oh, this certain class of people, they just simply can't figure out how to get an ID.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're racist for not letting them vote. It's an insult to them. You're classifying a whole group of people, and you're saying they are not capable of doing something this basic. You're insulting them.
Yeah.
Insulting.
Yeah. And in fact, former President George W. Bush even had a phrase for that. He called it the, as I recall, the soft bigotry of low expectations. You know, in effect, treating these people as if, you know, oh, well, you know, they can't get ahead without our help. You know, they, you know, it's just, it's a bad, you know, it's a supremacy type thinking, really, a literal supremacy type thinking.
And one of the, so what they're doing is a tactic, and it's called psychological projection or blame shifting, where the attacker blames the victim. In other words, they're accusing you of what they're guilty of. Sigmund Freud coined the term where he says that humans resort to a defensive mechanism of denying in themselves the existence of unpleasant behavior while attributing that exact behavior to others, i.e. a rude person accuses others of being rude. And so what it is they're the ones who are racist, yet they're accusing the non-racist people of being racist. Little kids do this. I didn't start the fight. You did. I mean, it's just natural. Kids know how to shift the blame to the, and wife beaters will beat up a wife and say, it's your fault because you provoked me. Or Sharia men will rape a woman and say, it's your fault because you tempted me. And so this has gotten into politics. And David Axelrod, who was Obama's campaign manager on NPR radio 2014, he said, in Chicago politics, we have a tradition where you throw a brick through your own campaign office window and then call a press conference to accuse your opponent. I was reading a New York Times in April 23rd, 2015. It says, report cash flowed to Clinton Foundation amidst Russian uranium deal. So here, at the same time, the Steele dossier, which Hillary Clinton paid for, to accuse Trump of colluding with Russia, the New York Times runs a headline, cash flowed to the Clinton Foundation from Russia for a uranium deal. So she was guilty, and she accused, and the trick is you accuse them of the exact thing that you're guilty of. Why? Because their name gets associated with it in the media. The media picks it up, and it's guilt by association. You mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center. What it is they'll put an innocent person's name next to a guilty person's name, and it's guilt by association. That, and most people don't read past the headlines, and if they see a name, that's why they would always tell politicians in coaching classes, if you're accused of something, never repeat the accusation in your refuting of it. Because why? It'll say, candidate so-and-so says that he's not guilty of such and such a crime. But your name still appears in the same sentence as the crime, and people do an association. This name keeps appearing with this crime, where there's smoke, there's fire. And it's used every single day where they accuse innocent people of the exact crime that they're guilty of. You know, the Bible even has this. Acts chapter 24, Apostle Paul, he's there at a trial. And it says, Tertullius began to accuse him, saying, we have found this man, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition amongst the Jews, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who has gone about to profane the temple. Then Paul answered and said, they neither found me in the temple disturbing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city, neither can they prove the things to which they are accusing me of. It was Tertullius and all these Pharisees, they were the ones that stir up the crowd. Yet they're accusing Paul, who was just in there all by himself, right, going to the temple. So this a tactic of psychological projection, it's also called seizing the moral high ground, is they want to appear more virtuous than you are. And they want to then accuse you of it. And casinos do this. So a casino will move into an area, and people that are against it will cite statistics of crime going up and prostitution and sex trafficking. But if the casino can donate a little money to schools, then they can seize the moral high ground and say, we care about the children. And unless you support casinos, you must hate the children. and so they want to say, we care more about racial equality than you are. And unless you cave and support our agenda, you're evil. When actually they are the ones that are wanting to perpetuate this. You know, I saw a Charles Barkley quote just yesterday, and he's the NFL, the basketball player, and he was on CBS Sports, and he talked about how they're basically the black people and white people are good people, and that politicians are wanting to stir up and make us hate each other.
Wow.
For political gain. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this intentional stirring up and the hating of each other for political gain.
You know, I would think though, when it comes to voting itself, I would think if you ask the average American, honestly, you know, what do you really think about voter integrity? Don't you think if you vote for candidate A, it should be counted as a vote for candidate A? And don't you think it should be wrong for somebody else who, let's say they're voting for candidate B, but somehow their vote gets counted twice, or their vote gets counted more, or they get to vote when they shouldn't be voting because they're not proper citizens and, you know, and they don't have the identification or whatever. I mean, in other words, I agree that in times past, you know, under Jim Crow type conditions, let's say black people were denied the right to vote or whatever. But those days are gone. And in the meantime, I don't understand common sense laws like the Georgia law requiring voter ID, that's somehow being demonized as if it's racist.
Yeah, it basically is them wanting to perpetuate voter fraud. And, you know, if you think of it, if someone can justify killing an innocent baby, is there anything they can't justify? I mean, what's voter fraud compared to that? In other words, here you have a political party, and in their platform, they list that they're in favor of killing babies. What's voter fraud? there is no moral absolute standard of right and wrong. It's just a power grab. And when you realize it's just a power grab, then it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal if it helps you to make get more power. And they'll offer favors to those that go along with them, and they'll threaten those that don't. So it's called the bribe or the bullet, the silver or the lead.
Yeah, but you know what's so interesting? What's so interesting, though, about this bill is that there's some major corporations and so forth that are getting on board. So, for example, I don't even follow sports, but the Major League Baseball was going to have some major game, the All-Stars or something, in Atlanta. That's what it was scheduled to be. But because of this law being perceived as being racist, they managed to get that, taken away from Georgia. Because, again, they're accusing them of racism. And then former President Trump even wrote out a letter saying, to his supporters, I think it's time for us to boycott Major League Baseball and also Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola, because both of those corporations were behind the removal of the MLB. And they're viewing this law from Georgia for voter integrity as if it's Jim Crow Part 2.
Yeah, so it's the opposite. It's sort of like bills. Whenever they introduce any bill and they name the bill, you can be pretty well confident the bill is going to do exactly what they claim that it's going to do.
You mean the opposite? Yeah, like the
infrastructure. I guarantee it's not going to support the interest. It's right. Affordable Care Act. It's going to make it not affordable.
Yeah. Equality Act. Yeah, you're right. And that's a good point.
And so the corporations. I was taken back when somebody explained it to me. For the longest time, we thought of business on one side and government on the other side, but it's begun to change. So those pushing a leftist agenda in government, they realized that all they had to do was buy some stock in corporations and show up at the stockholder meeting and make a resolution that the board be more diverse and have more women and have gays and have LGBT and have transgender. And once they have enough people that have bought stock that vote for this, then the company has to carry out what their board, their owners, the stockholders say for them to carry out. And so these major corporations have been co-opted into pushing this leftist agenda while, the rest of the people, they're too busy focusing on their lives, and they haven't lifted their head up above the water to see that this whole thing's floating toward a waterfall. But it's sad that. But here's a quote from Charles Barkley. It was April 3rd, 2021, CBS Sports. He says, "Man, I think most white people and black people are great people. I really believe that in my heart, but I think our system is set up where our politicians, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, are designed to make us not like each other so they can keep their grasp of money and power. They divide and conquer. We're so stupid for following our politicians." And now he's not just saying that. Malcolm X in 1963 said the same thing. He said, "White liberals differ from white conservatives. Both want power, but the white liberal has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend and benefactor to use the Negro as a pawn or a weapon in this political football game that is constantly raging between the white liberal and the white conservative, and the white liberals control the ball."
Wow.
So here again, that they want to have this division. Then Manning Johnson was a black man that became a communist, and then he left, and then he wrote a book exposing it.
We have 15 seconds left. 15 seconds.
Anyway, he talked about how he realized that the Negro is a political dupe, that the leftists want to use, he called it a red plot, a scramble for power. David Horowitz said the same thing. The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution.
Mm.
Civil rights, women's rights, black rights are only instruments in the larger cause, which is power.
Mm.
And so you sow division, you fan the flames of hatred, and once there's violence, everybody wants the government to come in and restore order, and that's when these dictators and can usurp power.
Wow. AmericanMinute.com for more information. Thank you, Bill. Always a pleasure. God bless you.
Thank you.